peacemakers, discussing conflict resolution and conflict management with experts and stakeholders. Let's dialogue for peace. Peacemakers, looking for solutions. Hello and welcome to Peacemakers, a program on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. And today we will be looking at the efforts to realize peace and mitigating conflicts in Central Equatorial State. And this year might have been seeing an improved security situation in many parts of the state, that is Central Equatoria, especially when it comes to communal conflicts. The conflict among the Mundari subsections seems to have been considerably addressed, and several engagements of women and youth groups and civil military relations have been ongoing. And to have more on these issues and others, I welcome to the studio Civil Affairs Officer Teclaire Samé from the UNMIS Civil Affairs Division. Welcome, Teclaire, in our studios.
Thank you very much.
Yes, first, as Civil Affairs and your partners, of course, you have been up and down trying to address some of the issues that are related to the UNMIS mandate and that are also specifically for the Civil Affairs Division. And as I said at the beginning, the situation in Central Equatoria was a little bit tense last year when it comes to Turkeka County, in which the communal violence was very rife, and a lot of things happened. There were displacements, there were killing, and there were insecurity on the road and so. So some of your engagements involved the situation in Turkeka. So tell us what happened in this respect.
Thank you very much, Gabriel. As you know, Civil Affairs Division, we work mostly at the subnational level, facilitating engagements and also supporting the peace process at the grassroots, bringing stakeholders together at the grassroots level. So this year, one of the issues of concern for us within our state, Central Equatorial State, was the growing intercommunal violence within Turkeka County. You know, Turkeka County is one of the counties in Central Equatorial State that has a lot of cattle keepers. And sometimes the cattle camp youths engage in very violent, adopt very violent behaviors. And these often results in violent clashes between cattle communities and their counterparts, the farming communities. So, for example, you had issues between communities in the area of Tali and Kobora. And some of these clashes are violent and result in a lot of displacements. And most of these conflicts, sometimes when we looked at it from the conflict analysis perspective, we realized there was need to engage all the stakeholders, because there were ongoing engagements in different efforts carried out by different partners, different initiatives led by church leaders. But none of these initiatives really had long-term impact in peace, in the peace process. Mm-hmm. So we provided support to the church leaders in collaboration with SEPO and Whitaker. We worked closely with the church leaders to design a multi-stakeholder approach to bring all the parties together in one room to really discuss the issues and identify a way forward. Because having fragmented deliberations, there is no consensus and there is no shared understanding and ownership of the process. So in January, there was a Mundari Peace and Reconciliation Conference, which brought together women representatives, youth representatives, cattle camp leaders, elites of from Turkeka County. And this dialogue paved the way for more engagements led by the church leaders. The youths and the communities also had another conference in Wunliet with all the cattle camp youths together to raise awareness about the importance of peaceful coexistence and different Pacific conflict management strategies which will not result in violence. And sometime in June, all of these engagements also gave way to an all-elite conference where we brought the elites and the intellectuals of the Mundaris together, because sometimes these conflicts are often political conflict by initiated by the elites, and then the communities find themselves fighting each other without really having any real cause to mm-hmm. fight. Mm-hmm. So we thought if the elites could come up with a solution, sit in one room and talk to each other, this was going to improve relations at the grassroots. And this has really worked, because this year, last week we were in Terekeka on patrol, and one of the things that the county commissioner and the youth representatives said was these conferences have increased the peaceful relations in the community. They are all living together with the military, with each other, irrespective of whether you are from the cattle camp or you are a farmer. There is a peaceful way for them to live together.
Yeah.
We found heads of cattle, but none of the cattle were being driven into farmland. Mm. So it shows that this 2022, these peace and reconciliation initiatives have really contributed largely to promoting peace in Terekeka County.
Yes, I mean, maybe this is an opportunity to have a recap of what we can call the root causes of the conflict, because we can take Terekeka as a microcosm of the conflicts in South Sudan. And I'm interested in knowing or understanding the interests of the groups and the fears and the assumptions, whether they were addressed in these engagements. Because if there is a saying that if the interest of each group is not addressed and they don't feel satisfied with the deal, they won't buy it.
Quite
they won't
true.
Get it. Yeah.
Quite
what
true.
Can you say?
I think if you look at the, like you say, Terekeka is just a niche, and you have similar pockets of violence across the country. But the case of Terekeka is quite peculiar, because in the rainy season like now, the entire area of Jemeza, Payam, Tali, Muni, all those areas are heavily flooded. So it means and these are largely grazing communities. Mm-hmm. These grazing communities cannot stay in their areas during the rainy season because there's flood. So then they are bound to drive their cattle downwards. And that means getting through areas where you have farmers who are also farming, because this is the rainy season. This is the farming season. And at the same time, in the dry season, there is heavy droughts as well in those areas where there is no pasture, there is no water for the cattle. So you see, one of the root causes is this, the conflict is mostly climate induced, because of it affects the resources. So there is a struggle for resources, and this struggle for resources is one of the key root causes mm-hmm. of the violence. Of course, some of the violence is also politically motivated, because if you have elites who can't see eye to eye, automatically the communities they represent become enemies without actually knowing why they are fighting.
Mm.
And I think bringing the elites together played a key role. Because reconciling the elites, once the elite are seen together, eating together, talking to each other, getting along, automatically the communities no longer have any driving force to carry on with the with the fighting. So if I can say summarily, of course there are many other small historical factors why some communities can't seem to live together, but these are the two main causes.
And this brings me to the practical solutions that were adopted during the engagements. You can mention a few of them.
Yeah. So one of the practical solutions is to support the Terekeka community to develop a water catchment in the areas where they suffer from severe droughts. Because the severe drought then pushes the cattle to come into the other communities, and sometimes to come right down to Juba, to areas of Juba County, and then you also have lots of clashes with communities in the other counties.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the solutions, the long-term solutions, would be to help the communities to develop a water catchment. Of course, water catchments are very expensive to develop, so that is still in process, and we have been engaging with other stakeholders, other UN agencies and civil society organizations to see how they could find a lasting solution to support the community to develop a water catchment. That is one of the solutions. The issue of flooding, it's difficult because it's difficult to address the issue of flooding.
Mm-hmm.
However, the second solution is to develop these cordial relations where the cattle camp leaders and the communities where they want to graze their cattle come to an understanding and identify an area which is away from other land uses. That way the cattle do not interfere in the livelihood of the other community members. And that seemed to have really been working, and mm-hmm. that is one of the key things that have contributed to the relative peace that is enjoyed in the community. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the youths of Terekeka are also playing a proactive role in engaging with the cattle camp leaders. So, for example, if there is a cattle raid, instead of letting the other community carry out a revenge attack, they try to intervene to recover the cattle without any violent clashes happening. So this is also one of the key things. And these youths learned some of these skills through the conflict management and mm-hmm. engagement activities that we carry out with the youths within yeah. the state.
Yes, listeners, Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is Peacemakers program, and this is coming to you right after the news at 9 a.m. And of course, we are every time we are moving from one area to another to see how the partners, peace partners, and also the stakeholders are engaging for peace and mitigating conflict in several areas. Today, we are focusing in Central Equatoria State, and we are looking into issues with the civil affairs officer here in Juba, Teclaire Samé, and she's with me here in the studio, and we've just spoken about their efforts in Terekeka and how the situation in Terekeka County has much improved following engagements with partners and also with the local community and the local government there, of course. And we have just understood that the issues that are causing conflicts in Terekeka have been largely addressed, and some of them are pending implementation. Samé, let us move to the issue of the civic-military engagements. And civic-military engagements have been major projects and also engagement by the Civil Affairs Division and partners, including the organized forces, both in the SPLA or SSPDF, and also the IO forces and others. So even we have reported some of these engagements. But tell us the engagement, how it has been going, and what is the outcome so far?
You, like we said before, civil affairs, we try to engage in, we are more proactive in conflict prevention and conflict management at the local level. And one of the triggers of conflict sometimes is the poor civil-military relations, because given the stressful conditions that people face, sometimes there is bound to be friction between the way the military conducts its activities and the way it is perceived by the communities. So sometimes it is the perception that creates the conflict even before you actually have real tensions between the military and the civilians they are supposed to be protecting. So in the Greater Yeh area, like you know, there's a lot of violent armed clashes going on. And sometimes the communities are caught in between the activities of NAS and SSPDF. So either they are harassed by NAS for being sympathizers with the government, or they are harassed by SSPDF for being sympathizers or alleged affiliation with NAS. So in some of these areas, the relationship is really challenging because the communities are constantly being harassed by SPLM, SSPDF forces, and also SPLA-IO forces. And then there is a lot of ongoing abductions and harassments of the communities by NAS elements and other unknown gunmen in the area. So one of the activities that we have been, the Yeh sub-office, our colleagues in the Yeh sub-office have been engaging in is civil-military dialogue in Yeh River County, Lanya, Morobo, and in Kajukeji. And we also work closely with local civil society organizations, like I said. For example, SEPO has done a lot of work, and Whittaker in this domain, and we partner with them and provide support to enhance dialogue. For example, this year we've done civil-military dialogue in Panyume, Payoa, and Mukaya. And some of these engagements have really helped to improve the relations, because now the military understands the role that the chiefs and community leaders have to play to support peace and conflict management at the grassroots. And they now perceive the chiefs and the community leaders more as partners than as adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
And this has kind of helped to improve the civil-military relations in the area. However, given that some of these conflicts are ongoing, we still plan to carry out more of such activities in Kajokeji by December and in the beginning of the new year.
Yeah, so the engagement, because I can imagine a civilian and civilians and military officers sitting face to face and trying to speak out, and for I don't know how do the civilians feel when they are addressing military men, and also how do the military men feel when they are speaking to just you are just civilians, what are you telling us?
Yeah, so prior to these bringing the two parties together, we do prior engagements. So for example, when we go on patrols, we have meetings with the SSPDF commanders on the ground or whichever military group is in the area. We have engagements with them, and during those engagements we provide advice on how they can improve their cordial relations with the military and with the civilians. And we do the same when we have where we meet with community leaders. And when we are planning a civil-military dialogue, we intensify these engagements, because the primary objective of a civil-military dialogue is to build trust, to bring them closer to each other, for them to know, oh, these people are not scary. I can actually sit and talk to them. I can bring my problems to them. So we try to provide capacity building on some common conflict management skills that both the military and the civilians can benefit from. But we also provide advice on how they can peacefully coexist and have cordial relations, so they can serve the interests of both, because the military definitely need the civilians to provide them, especially with the key information that they need in a timely manner,
yeah,
and sure and concrete information. But the civilians also need the military to provide them the security services when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are not in communication with each other, if something happens in the community,
yeah,
before the military intervenes to provide security, then it's too late.
Yeah.
So that is the first thing. Just bringing them together in the same space,
yeah,
is already a big step.
Yeah, it's a big step.
And then they can then share contacts. They can now understand the duties and responsibilities of each,
yeah,
party,
yeah,
and that way they can define clearly their roles. And having, yeah, that shared understanding helps to bring them closer to each other and to improve,
yeah,
considerably their relations.
Yeah, and so I mean, also we have been seeing some protests or complaints about some sort of violence, like what you have said, committed by people in uniform. And some of them have even attributed this because to the situation these forces themselves are forcing. Sometimes they don't have food, they don't have access to food. Then they would have to come to the little things with the civilians and take it from them if the civilians are unwilling. So, but also there is an element that has been emphasized in greater Yei areas. This is accountability for the crimes that have been committed. And we have seen a number of trials that have been made. Are these steps taken by the military themselves to hold their own people accountable a result of these engagements?
Definitely. I think that the engagements that we provide go a long way, because we do not just limit ourselves to engaging the local stakeholders, but we do proactive engagements as well with the state authorities and also at the national level. Like it is always said, civil affairs is the eyes and ears of the mission at the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see something or we hear something, which we flag it to the mission leadership, and mission leadership can engage at the national government level, with the national government. On our part, we engage, we work closely, and we are in regular communication with the Ministry of Local Government, the Ministry of Cabinet Affairs, and the State Advisor for Peace and Security. So if we raise these issues with them, and then they take proactive steps. For example, the court-martial in Ye was as a result of all of these engagements. And the court-martial in Ye has contributed a lot in improving accountability mm-hmm. of the military, because now they know that they can be held accountable for acts that they commit even years later on. So they are more careful mm-hmm. with how they interact with the community. And it has
especially those who can be rich, could be rich, yeah.
Exactly. And it has also given confidence of the population to know if something happens, I can report it and I can actually get justice for what has happened. So mm-hmm. the year court martial has helped a lot, and I think they are going to convene another one maybe in the beginning of the new year.
Yeah.
And this is something that should be replicated in many other areas where you have a lot of harassments yeah. and indiscriminate actions by the military.
Yeah.
Of course, like you said before, the soldiers sometimes don't have a choice because they're in the barracks, they don't have food aid and all of that. Recently, we reported the harassment and looting by IO forces in Panyume, which led to displacements of thousands of civilians to Morobo. And because of the proactive engagements, the week after these things happened, the soldiers received food supplies and all of that. And the new county commander in SSPDF commander in Kajukeji is proactively engaging with the SPLA IO commander in Panyume, because these soldiers have detachments in Liwolo, which is part of Kajukeji County.
Mm-hmm.
And if these engagements between different military groups also do not happen, then you can have spillover of violence from one county to another, and then you don't know whether to blame IO or to blame SSPDF. So even the military themselves need to dialogue together to be able to improve the way they handle issues.
And then we must emphasize that the lack of lack of peace in Greater Ye is attributed to the confrontation between non-signatories to the peace agreement, while the signatories are, like what you have said, are engaging one another. But there is no engagement between SSPDF, IO, and NAS, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, that is not within our docket.
Yeah.
As civil affairs, we do not have the mandate to engage with non-state armed groups. But of course, there are other stakeholders who are doing proactive engagements mm-hmm. with them, like ACRC.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we collaborate with them to provide them technical support in these areas.
Mm.
However, what we can do at our level is to raise and flag some of these issues at the state and the national level, and then the government can see what proactive steps they can take to reduce this outburst of violence.
Yes, listeners, this is Peacemakers program on Radio Maria with me, Gabriel Shadar. With me in the studio is Tekler Same, civil affairs officer with the civil affairs division office in Central Equatoria State. And we are continuing our discussion after a few minutes. Peacemakers, discussing conflict resolution and conflict management with experts and stakeholders. Let's dialogue for peace. Peacemakers, looking for solutions.
Girl, I can't believe baby like you come to my way. And me, I go like, make me go find somewhere. When me and you go there, now there I go tell you, say I want you. Now there you go know how much I need you. Now there I go come out my rose flower, give unto you, tell you I love you. There's no delay, for here we day I want to share my love with you. Anything you want, I go give unto you. Problems if you give your love to me, baby. Make me dey flow, my darling. You dey make me go low, my honey. You dey sweet me, oh. Make me dey hit an idea, oh. Mm-hmm. 1 + 1 is equals to 2. But me and you, we are equals to 1. The way you dey laugh, not the way I dey laugh. We do make sense. That's why I say there's no delay, for here we dey. I want to share.
Peacemakers, discussing conflict resolution and conflict management with experts and stakeholders. Let's dialogue for peace. Peacemakers, looking for solutions. Yes, you are listening to Peacemakers program on Radio Mirai with me, Gabriel Shadar, and with me in the studio is Declare Sabet, Civil Affairs Officer in the UNMIS Civil Affairs Division Office in Central Equatorial State. Sabet, we have covered the Rukeke and Munri areas, Mundari and the Terukeke conflict there, and we covered also Yei River County, where there were a lot of civic military engagements taking place. Now, we have seen also you have been engaging with the youth and women groups in Central Equatorial State, and there is quite a lot of active women engagements in Central Equatorial State compared to other states in the country. But maybe you have been trying also to add something, to add value to what they have been doing and how they have been doing things. What can you tell us?
Okay. Thank you very much, Gabriel. You know, women and youths make up a huge segment of the population of South Sudan.
Yep.
And as the UN, we are struggling and trying to support the communities and the countries where we work to promote women and youth participation in peace and decision-making processes. And that is why for us in Central Equatorial State, women and youths are a key component of our target groups in the work that we do. So, you know, when there was the change from the 32 to the 10 states, a lot of the women associations were kind of was a kind of disoriented because yes. of this change from 32 to 10 states. So there was a need to restructure the women association, because if you do not have a strong functional women body with strong leadership, then it's difficult to engage the women, because there is a risk that you have a few women who benefit from capacity building, economic empowerment repeatedly, whereas there are a larger percentage of the women, especially in the Payams and the Bomas, who do not get to benefit from some of these and who lack the adequate skills to get engaged mm-hmm. in decision-making processes at the grassroots. So one of our strategy was to support the women, working together with the State Ministry of Gender, to bring to restructure these youth and women groups. So in Central Equatoria, we supported the restructuring of the Central Equatoria State Youth Union, and they elected their leadership. And we also supported the restructuring of the Yei County Youth Association. And currently, today, we are actually having the Juba County Women Conference, which is going to be ongoing for the next 2 days. And this conference is going to help in terms of awareness raising, capacity building, and also provide support for them to review and adopt their constitution and elect their leadership and develop an action plan mm-hmm. that they can implement. And this is the outcome of the women conference we had in June. There was a three-day conference which brought together women delegates mm-hmm. from all the six counties and payams of Central Equatorial State, where the leadership was elected, and these were supporting the women leaders to engage at the county level. So next week we are going to have a women conference in Yei River County, and on the 21st of November we are going to have another conference in Terukeke, and in December Morobo and Kajukeji counties.
Yeah.
So our strategy is to support these women associations to come together to elect their leadership, to develop an action plan. And one of the key things that the women all talk about is the issue of women economic empowerment. Mm. And we support them. We work closely with different sections of UNMIS, Gender Affairs, PIO. The Women Conference in June was done in partnership with UN Women, which is one of the key UN agencies mandated to provide support on women political participation and economic empowerment.
Mm.
And we are facilitating or liaising these women with other stakeholders, both state and non-state stakeholders, CSOs, mm-hmm. that can provide adequate support to them in terms of capacity building, support women projects that can improve the economic situation of the women.
Yep.
And most of these women who come from the grassroots, we provide them with capacity building so they can engage actively in some of the initiatives at the grassroots to promote peace and conflict management within their local communities.
The general questions that I might ask here is, or I would like to ask here is, what is the significance and the importance or the relevance of women groups when it comes to the peace efforts and the mandate of the mission?
Yeah. So I think women have a key role to play, because when women are engaged in peace processes, evidence show that where women are engaged in peace processes, the peace process is more durable, because women cut across every segment of society. They are the ones who are largely responsible for the upbringing of the children. So if they understand the importance of peace and the values of peace, then they instill these values in the children who are the youths and who would become the leaders of the country in the long run. And also women can play a key role in deterring violence, because they observe and they can actually deter the youths from engaging in violent behaviors. But also engaging women in the peace process also helps to consider the issues, the specific issues that women face, and to address those issues adequately. And that way you get a more inclusive and durable outcome in terms of peace building.
Yeah, because the perception is that these issues of peace, conflict, and all these kind of things are seen to be like they are prerogative of men or males, and women have no voice. But these bodies allow women to have a voice, like the issues of economic
empowerment.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Those, if you don't have resources, you don't have a voice.
Exactly.
Somehow you need more women. We need more women to have economic control so that they feel empowered, they feel strong, and take care of families.
And sometimes it's not that men do not want to represent women's issues, but they do not know how to adequately represent women's issues. So who better to speak for a woman than a woman herself?
Yeah.
So if you provide them the leadership skills and the platform for them to engage actively and be involved in decision-making processes, then they can actually speak for themselves and say, look, these are the things that affect us. And you know, the people who are most vulnerable in the outbreak of violence is women and children.
You did not speak about youth.
Yes, so we are also working closely with the youth. We provide a lot, because most of the people involved in conflict and violent behavior are the youths. Mm. So recently there is a large emergence of youth gangs in Yei River County, and our colleagues in Yei are working actively with the church leaders and other civil society organizations on the ground to engage actively and do a lot of engagement and awareness raising for youths to deter from joining such violent gangs. And this is normal, because in an area where you have active armed conflict going on, it's easy. The youths are the most vulnerable to be recruited by these armed groups. So our work with the youths is to make sure that we support the youth association, so they in turn can actively provide support to the youths in their communities, in the Payams and the Bomas, where they live.
And of course, as we come to almost the last minutes of the program, you just said you restructured you helped restructuring the women and youth bodies, but also there is the element of traditional leadership. And this is a very old system that has been there in the country, and things kept changing during the last years and last 10 years. And this meant even the traditional leadership has been affected by the restructuring of the states, by Payams, Bomas, and so forth.
Exactly.
Tell us what you have been also doing with the chiefs.
So one of our key interventions is also to provide support to community leaders, because providing support and training to community leaders help them to come up with grassroots community-based resolution mechanisms to address their development issues and challenges within the communities. And providing capacity building for the chiefs also help the chiefs to become proactive in their engagement with their counterparts, with the citizens, with the military, like we said earlier on in the program. So this year we have done a lot of capacity building support. We work closely with the Ministry of Local Government to provide capacity building for the chiefs in the implementation of the Local Government Act, the South Sudan Local Government Act, because the chiefs, most of them were newly elected or appointed into office, and most of them needed to really understand what their duties and responsibilities are within the Local Government Act, how they can intervene and be key actors of the reconciliation, the process of the peace in the implementation of the peace agreement, mm-hmm. but also in conflict management at the grassroots. So this capacity building we had for at the state level, and we've had in 5 counties of Central Equatoria. We're planning to have for Lanya County probably by the end of the month of November. We are going to have for chiefs of Lanya County. This has really helped the chiefs, because we have concrete examples where when we had a lot of Dinkabo and Mundari cattle within the farming communities of Central Equatoria State. Mm-hmm. Some of the chiefs, based on the conflict management skills that they gained through our engagements and trainings, were proactive to engage with the cattle camp leaders to find a solution to prevent violent conflicts. And that's why in most communities we didn't have mm-hmm. the usual violent clashes with lots of loss of life and displacement. So in Ganji and Sindiro, for example, the chiefs were proactive in meeting the cattle camp leaders before they arrived their communities to identify a grazing land close to the water, away from community activities where their cattle could graze. And this kind of improved the relations, because if something happened in the community and it's alleged to have been caused by the cattle camp youth, then it's easy for the chiefs, who have already built a cordial relationship with the leaders of the cattle camps, to engage them to address some of these problems.
Of course, this shows that it is possible to reduce the issues between cattle camps and farming communities when there is genuine engagement between the leaders.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So in the area of Greater Yei, through all of these engagements, they came up with the concept of Boma councils. Mm. And Boma councils are at the grassroots level in the Bomas, headed by a group of community leaders headed by the chief. And they act as an entry point for development and peace-building initiatives in the community. Mm. This has helped a lot in having coherence and to avoid a lot of duplication of efforts by UNMISS and other partners. So they know who wants to do what in the community, and they kind of help also serve as a liaison to bring all of these initiatives together. And that is really improving in addressing some of the key challenges that is being faced at the grassroots level. Because the chiefs are the ones who are at the local level. Mm-hmm. And the engagements with the chiefs have also improved the peaceful coexistence in the communities and reduced violent clashes, because they engage with us regularly. Now we know them, we have their contacts, we engage with them regularly. They can flag some things to us, and they can signal to us some early warning signs, and that would help us to engage with the state and the national government to provide proactive measures to prevent violence and clashes before it happens. So all these engagements are contributing one way or the other to addressing local conflict and improving peace building in the country.
And as we have come to the end of our program, maybe you would like to highlight any issue that the Civil Affairs Division office in Central Equatoria is happy with and looking forward to continue engaging in.
One of the key things that I think is very positive is that we have a very good relation with the state government. The state government is very open, is very receptive towards the issues we raise, and very open to our advice and very supportive. So when we engage the state government on certain issues, they are proactive in taking action to address the issues. For example, in the around April and May, there were lots of issues with cattle and illegal logging and all of that, and also some issues with SSPDF harassment. And we see that the government has taken measures. For example, in Kajukeji, there is a new SSPDF commander in place, and he's doing a lot of engagements to improve the relations within the community. There was a committee set up by the governor to engage with the communities to address the issue of cattle. The issue of illegal logging in Kajukeji area and other areas have been largely addressed. So we see the proactive nature of the government. It shows the willingness of the government. And this also shows national and local ownership, because when it is led by the government officials and the community leaders, they have more ownership of the peace process. So these are some very good signs, and we continue working with the state and the local authorities, and hopefully one step at a time things will improve.
Thank you very much, Declare Sabes, Civil Affairs Officer with the Civil Affairs Division Office in Central Equatorial State, for being with us on the Peacemakers program. Hope to see you in a couple of weeks again to have more updates. And Mabruk for your efforts, and we hope all the best for the people of Central Equatorial State, this beautiful land, so that they live in peace. Thank you
very much. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And that is the end of today's Peacemakers program on Radio Mirai with me, Gabriel Shadar. This program is also repeated later during the day, that is at 9 p.m. Peacemakers, discussing conflict resolution and conflict management with experts and stakeholders. Less dialogue for peace. Peacemakers, looking for solutions.